Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Ask the GP, where we get all of your medical questions, queries, concerns answered by Dr. John Flanagan from the Suffolk Street Surgery in Dublin, is with me in studio today. John, good afternoon. How
Thanks
are you?
Thanks for having me back. Good to
Not
be
at
here.
All. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number if you have a question for John today. This one, this listener, John, is wondering about a spot on their forehead. It looks like a wart. I've put Wartner on it twice. It reduces. It doesn't disappear. Is it something I need to go to the GP about, and can they remove it?
So the GP might be able to remove it. More important than getting it removed is getting it diagnosed as, is it benign? Is it something that can sort of stay with the GP, that can either be frozen or removed or treated? Or is it something more concerning? And kind of questions I'd be looking to know: what age they are, have they got a lot of sun in the past, have they used sunbeds, is there a lot of skin cancer in the family? Those kind of questions. You know, things can look okay, but if they're on the forehead, if things aren't healing, things can look like warts or scab up. You need to get it checked with someone who's got experience with kind of skin. And there's plenty of GPs that use dermatoscopes now that can kind of have a good look and say, no, that's perfect. We'll freeze that with some liquid nitrogen or a prescription treatment. Or no, that needs to get kind of biopsied as such and get sent on, you know.
So that is a trip to the GP for that listener.
Yeah, we can't tell by from the text which one it is. Yeah. So
but your recommendation would be go and get it looked at.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Listeners wondering what they can do about a trigger finger.
Yeah.
What is that, first of all?
So trigger finger it's sort of a fixed, we call it deformity. It's where your finger is kind of in the wrong place because of the kind of levers and pulleys that are moving the finger about, or kind of the sort of pulley in the finger is kind of a little bit too tight. It commonly happens in white people, a kind of a Celtic condition in your 50s and 60s, and it can be treated. So sometimes they inject them with steroids. It's kind of a surgeon that does it, a plastic surgeon, kind of a hand specialist. So it can be injected, or sometimes they have to do a sort of slightly bigger procedure where they kind of release, do a tendon release on it. But a plastic surgeon would be so unfortunately that's another trip to the GP and a referral. Yeah.
Would they go on to say that they have it on their middle finger in both hands? It can be very sore, especially at night. Both fingers are almost contracted and difficult to straighten without severe discomfort.
Yeah, there is one step you could do before the GP is there's an occupational therapist. It's kind of like a physio, but they specialize in hands and kind of modifications, maybe splints. But they can be brilliant at those kind of hand conditions and assessing it and seeing, okay, maybe there might be some room for massage or splints or other things. It might be worth a trip to that or indeed the GP.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you have a question for Dr. John Flanagan today. This listener, John, their daughter is 15, very squeamish at just even the mention of the blood, veins, anything like that. Her symptoms lately indicate that she could possibly be celiac. Her brother is celiac, so it's in the family, but she won't get the blood test done. And it's not just a fear of needles. She can't even listen to certain topics in biology class. My question is there any way to help her overcome this fear of getting her bloods taken or looked at? For example, would hypnotherapy work?
I think hypnotherapy is a great option, a great thing to try. I'm sure this woman knows her daughter better than any GP, so I wouldn't maybe push it too much. You know, you can traumatize by throwing people into the deep end of getting their bloods done. So if it's not totally essential, you know, maybe leave it a year or two and see, does it get to the stage that the daughter wants to get the bloods done and she's kind of decides that she'll go ahead and brave it. Sometimes there's medications needed to, you know, a drowsy medication, but try and avoid them in kids. There are numbing creams that you can get. Emla is one.
I remember the magic cream when I was a kid.
Little cold sprays. They can be very helpful at reducing the pain of getting the needle put in. With regards to the celiac, it does run in families and it's probably worth getting tested for it. And there's no real half measures. If you're going to go gluten-free, it's not, you know, reducing it. You really have to go completely cold turkey and remove it. And that, you know, you could try that, give it a few months. But yeah, it's either or with giving up the gluten.
Listeners currently undergoing treatment for single cell renal cancer, stage 4. My thyroid glands aren't functioning properly. I have no energy. I find it really hard at times to even walk up a flight of 5-step stairs. The biggest problem is I'm freezing all of the time. I was put on Eltroxin 4 weeks ago. No improvement though.
Wow, that's really, really tough. There's a lot of complexity there, and there's probably multiple different doctors involved in that person's care, and I'm sorry to read that. I would say Don't be at all afraid of getting a palliative care doctor involved. So palliative care, a lot of people think, oh, that can be the end of the line and you know, there's people are giving up on me, but it's really the opposite. I worked in Harold's Cross Hospice and they couldn't care more about all kinds of symptoms associated with cancer. If any doctor is suggesting a referral, I jump at the opportunity. They're really, really excellent. And they can deal with things like energy level, that sort of feeling of cold, really any symptoms associated with it. In terms of the L-troxin, that's a thyroid hormone. It's kind of a replacement if your thyroid gland isn't making enough of it. It does take a bit of time for it to work. In 4 weeks, you should probably feel some benefit if it's going to work. You might need a dose increase on it or a repeat blood test. But it is a bit of a slow moving beast, the L-troxin.
So they need to go back to whoever they're undergoing their treatment with.
Yeah, talk to the oncologist, ask if palliative care could be of assistance or the GP to maybe increase the L-troxin a little bit more.
Okay.
087
1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number. Listener has chronic urticaria. I'm wondering what's the best treatment for it.
Yeah, chronic urticaria is very topical at the minute and people probably don't recognise how common it is. It's where you get hives kind of out of nowhere. They say it affects about 2% of the population and you get these kind of itchy welts that crop up. And the way you know it's urticaria is if you take a biro and you circle it, it should be gone in 1 or 2 days and another one appearing elsewhere. You know, they don't sort of stay for a long time. They kind of come up and you might not know that they're coming and going. But if you do that biro trick, you can kind of tell that it's urticaria. Antihistamines work and it's the non-drowsy type. So not your Pyritin type of antihistamine. It's more like the Zyrtec or the Loratadine or Telfast, those kind of non-drowsy antihistamines. And the other thing to say is you need to ignore the pharmacist on this one and don't read the label. They'll tell you that there's a max dose, but with chronic urticaria, you need to go up to 4 times the max dose. So you can mix and match antihistamines. I mean, do it with your doctor's supervision, but you really take a lot more than you might think of the antihistamines, up to 4 times the recommended dose. If all of this isn't working and you're going on for weeks with urticaria and it's driving you demented, you might need a referral to an immunologist.
Mm.
Some hospitals have longer waiting times than others, but they have kind of even more advanced treatments now for chronic urticaria. The other thing to say is it crops up out of nowhere, but it might disappear out of nowhere. You know, it's kind of typically driven by stress. Can come on, you know, you could have a bereavement or something very stressful and you get this dreadful or hives coming out of nowhere. And then 6 months later, it could just disappear and be gone forever. So don't lose hope on it. But
there is help out there.
There is help. And the non-drowsy antihistamines and plenty of them, they can really help.
OK, listener, looking for the best treatment for a fungal nail infection. I've tried over-the-counter treatments, tea tree oil, etc. Just can't get rid of it.
Yeah, fungal nails are really common and can be tricky. They really require a lot of diligence. There's a very good website called the PCDS, Primary Care Dermatological or Dermatology Society. It's a UK website and they have fantastic kind of information sheets on these kind of conditions. So for fungal nails, you need to diagnose it correctly. So you need to see your GP and get a toenail clipping in a bit of tinfoil, all right? And they send it off to the lab and they look it under a microscope and they diagnose it based on what they call little spores. They can see the fungus. They don't grow it the same way they do with other tests, but if they see the fungus, that's the diagnosis first, because there's other things that can look like fungal nail, but it might not be. In terms of treatment, if you are just going to go for the over-the-counter stuff, you really need to be treating it for months. You're talking maybe 6 to 9 months for a successful growing
dedication,
out.
Yeah, really, isn't
there's, it? There's Loceryl, which is Amorulfine. That's kind of a daily application. Actually, I'm not sure if it's daily or weekly. You can read the label on it, but you really need to be very diligent. There are tablet antifungals. There used to be one called Lamisil. It is still used. It's a daily one and you'd be on it for between 3 to 6 months. And you need to get your liver blood tests checked while you're on it. So that'd be with your GP. There's another one, and it's actually on that PCDS website, called Itraconazole. It's another antifungal and it works very well. The advantage is you don't need the bloods for it, because you just take a big dose for a week and you take 3 weeks off. And you do 3 cycles of that. So you take a week on, 3 weeks off, then 1 week on, 3 weeks off, and you repeat a final time. And that can clear it for a lot of patients.
This texter has a sore back, John, at currently attending physio. They do stretches every day, but still are in quite a bit of back pain. I'm wondering, do I need to rest or should I exercise it? I'm a 54-year-old woman.
So in your 50s, you know, they do call it Sniper's Alley, and I don't want to be causing fear and everything, but back pain that's ongoing and not getting better, it's going to be thinking about other causes. You have to make sure there's nothing you're missing in terms of, you know, nasty growths or things that are going on in the back. So that's the first thing to say. And the red flags for that are kind of drenching night sweats where you're having to change the sheets and the pajamas, you know, weight loss or unexplained fevers. Those kind of things, you definitely want to get in quick to your GP and chat through them. If it is just normal back pain and it's not responding, a bit of movement is great. You know, a good long walk every day, kind of, you know, 40 or 50 minutes. Rest is kind of the enemy. So just lying in bed or staying flat on the couch, the muscle will just kind of spasm up and get worse. The physio would be a good guide and would be able to identify those kind of red flags if it needs to go for medical side, or if stretching and maybe some dry needling, or if indeed if an MRI scan is required. But I wouldn't be hopping on the MRI scanner. You know, that's the benefit of that is really is if you need surgery. It doesn't tend to do a lot for kind of those general back pain that comes and goes. It does tend to just be physio and a bit of anti-inflammatories, a bit of hot packs and good long walks
will help there. Yeah. Just from the back pain to leg pain, listener in their late 60s, I've had x-rays, they've ruled out knee and hip damage. Am I destined to take painkillers for the rest of my life? I'm very active as well. It's just a terrible leg pain.
It sounds like one leg more than the other. So you'd be thinking maybe sciatica. And there are kind of specific stretches that I think I might have mentioned it the last time. With any condition, if you type in the name of the condition into Google with the words patient information leaflet, if you get a diagnosis of something and you put the words patient info leaflet, you get really good sheets. The NHS has really good ones on different conditions. But if it's one leg and, you know, you lift the leg straight up in the air and it really shoots down it, that would indicate it might be a bit of sciatica, and there's specific stretches you can do to improve that. Again, a physio can be excellent and can tell you whether you need the GP or if you need a scan, or if it's just stretching and see, you know.
Okay, and just finally, is there anything over the counter to try and remove skin tags? Listener says they've had them since they were a child, but actually really conscious of them now.
There are a few of these devices with little elastic bands that go on them. I haven't had much experience with them. Most people who come to see me for skin tags, I use a bit of cryotherapy, which is liquid nitrogen. So it's minus 178 degrees Celsius, a bit of a spray in a can. And that works well if the skin tags have a very narrow neck on them. Then they tend to be the most annoying ones. They're just hanging on and they're just a tiny little one. The kind of bigger fleshy ones with the wider neck, they don't freeze as well. There's lots of different treatments. There's electrocautery, the shave excision. There's lots of little minor procedures to take them off. Yeah.
Okay, so there's some options out
there. Lots of options.
All right. Yeah. John Flanagan, GP at the Suffolk Street Surgery. John, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.